You got it.
All right, you are a go.
You got it.
All right, you are a go. All right, you are a go.
This is Robert with Bike Sport Radio. Happy Thursday, wherever you may be, tuning in, listening. I've been searching for some different music, and can't find, well, reality is I can't find my old tune-in music, or at least most of it. I got half of it. But, two Thursdays in a row, I got a record going. Let's see if we can make it last. Bike Sport Radio, this is Robert. Trying something new today. What a weird week of weather in LA. Yes, we're broadcasting from a little dingy studio, Kill Radio Studios here in LA. And where else are you going to do a bike radio show? I mean, place where you can ride 365 days a year. I mean, this is LA, California, one of the best places. Yeah, so why not? This broadcast from LA. Anyways, here in the Kill Radio Studios, just little old me, an open window, a sunny day, watching all the cars crawl on the 101. I say 405 because I drive that darn thing all the time. No, I'm sitting here watching 101. Clear skies. It's like perfect weather. Why am I sitting in a studio talking about racing and riding when I should be outside doing it? Exactly, huh? I know. Yeah. You guys can call me on that later. Got a lot of great stuff coming your way. Get you ready for the summer cycling season. We've got all kinds of great things happening. We've got some events coming up. We had some events this last weekend. We're going to talk a little bit about those, and then we're going to get into our Sea Otter special. I know it's been so long. The Sea Otter's been so long, but got all these great audio clips from there. And, heck, man, I don't know. What are you guys doing today? Hit me up on Facebook, Bike Sport Radio, on Facebook page. Send me some messages, chat. Ask me what the heck I'm doing. See if I have a clue. I don't know if I have a clue. Half the time I do, half the time I don't. I think I got all my technical capabilities working properly today. If I don't, I'm sitting here talking to myself, which is all fine. It's all cool. But no, I think we're good. All the lights are moving. Things and arrows are flying. It looks like we're live. Otherwise, I just wasted my killer intro on that. Oh, well, it is what it is, right? So let's get started with our show, shall we? This is show 120. 120 shows. Not bad for a part-time gig. Heck, that's more shows than some big-time multi-million dollar radio people make. Anyways, so we're at show 120. Ooh, and this wonderful June gloom day. Actually, the gloom just burned off, so it's perfect time to grab your bike and go. Let's see. Anything new on Facebook? No? No one's listening to me? Oh, might help if I tell everybody. We're live! Let's see if that works. So, what do we got going on? Oh, lots of events. Let's see. This past weekend, we had couple of things going on. Oh, just a little event. You may have heard of it. It's called the Manhattan Beach Grand Prix. It's just a little event. I mean, it's eventually going to become a really big event. Yeah, it's actually one of the big events in the area. Very popular event. Good racing. Heard a lot of carnage for some reason. I don't have a reason for it. No one's called and told me why, but, you know, social media is our friend. Social media is makes reporters' jobs that much easier because I can save some gas and just wait for everybody to post it up. So apparently we had some pretty wicked crashes out there. The pictures, hopefully no one's hurt too badly. Hopefully the promoter had his medical crew there. And you guys all know me. My background was an EMT, and I worked several CX races, a couple road races, and you know, I'm a volunteer desert search and rescue member. So yeah, I'm really conscious about safety. And when I'm at an event, I definitely will jump in if I have to. So hopefully all the promoters out there, riders, you know, insist on it. Pay a couple bucks extra and make sure you have somebody always there on standby, because you never know when you're going to need them. On a serious note, I hope everybody who did go down, tumbled and scrumbled and all up and at them on their feet. And hoping that, you know, you're good for the next one. You know, bikes and stuff can be replaced. You know, don't worry about the mechanical stuff. That's fine as long as you guys are good, you guys and gals and everybody who's gone down. Shout out to my good old friend of the show, Mr. Michael Marks. Anybody who's hearing, wishing you a quick speedy. I hear you're up and about. So he had a little injury he's dealing with, but I know he's going to be up and about and moving as soon as possible, and we'll be chasing all his KOMs again. This is the best time to go get these KOMs, you guys. He's down. He's probably kicking our butts on the trainer right now as we speak, but that's okay. That's what he does. Let's go. Let's look at some results from the Manhattan Beach Grand Prix, which is this past weekend. In the Cat 1 Pro race, and I'm kind of just going to cover, I think, the pros, because there's quite a few, but we'll see how time flies. First place was Hilton Clark, followed by David Santos in second, and Garrett Olson in third, Rene Corella in fourth, and Rashan Bahati taking fifth. Good job for you guys. Very competitive. That's a pretty stacked field right there. Good thing I'm not racing that. You guys can have it. In the women's Pro Cat 1-2, Samantha Schneider from IS Corp Cycling took first, followed by Tina Pick out of Pepper Palace Pro Cycling and Erica Alar out of Cola Vita Bianchi. And that was our top three, followed by Skylar Schneider. I have a hunch they were related. Oh, wait, no. Yeah, I think they're related. Looks like sisters and teammates. Way to go. And fourth, and Jamie Gilgen, and Gilgen, please don't let me know if I slaughtered the name. Gilgen is what I want to say. But she took fifth, and very, you know, good competitive feel as well with the women. It was good to see them out there. Good number of them, too. Looks like 46 finishers. So that's pretty good. It's nice to see the women's numbers starting to creep back up, especially in that category, in the Pro 1-2s. Let's see. Let's pick another category, give them some air time here. Let's go with the old guys. Yeah, the Master Men 60+. Let's see how they're doing here. Look at that. Looks like teammates took the top two podium spots. Oh, come on. Get off the horn. Mike Marotta and Michael Burnt from the Jet Lagged Velo team took first and second, followed by Ricky Shorts out of Long Beach for the Bahati Foundation. Good job. And fourth was Dale Lutke, I'm going to say. And fifth was Thomas Gates. So nice little field there. And they had about 22 starters. So it's not bad, you know, the old guys. These guys, you know, we think as we get older, we get slower. Ha! If only that were true. It's getting more competitive as you get older. As for upcoming events in the road, we've got the GMR Challenge Time Trial happening on the 13th up there in Glendora. It's a time trial. Go out and push yourself out there. Have some fun. The next day, if you're up for some more punishment, which, you know, most of us are, the CBR Criterium in Carson is scheduled for the 14th. You can get some info on that at the... let's see, where's their website here? Yeah, go on to SoCal Cycling, and you can definitely find the flyer. And it's going to be in Dominguez Hills. So it's the common route, common location there. Let's see, so we got the CBR on the 14th. The 805 Criterium up in Lompoc will be the 19th and 21st. And this just in, from my good old romping days down in Baja. It's not really a bike race, but it turns into one. But they're doing a reincarnation of the Tecate to Ensenada ride, the 73-plus mile run from the Tecate border down to Ensenada. And as I remember, that one was a pretty brutal course. Lots of good climbing, some tight roads, but I hear they've really done some work on that road, so... there are some pictures up on that as well, and you want more information. And that's going down June 21st. So you're kind of going through the old Baja wine country, and it's listed as a full race and fun ride. So from what I'm gathering and the basic information that's come through my hands, it's an American-owned. So the guy, whoever's putting it on, promoter's putting it on, is, you know, American here based in the States, but is doing it over in Baja. So it's going to have a lot of, you know, the positive features we have from running a race here in the States and just going over the border and having things done. So it looks like a lot of fun. If you go to BajaBikeRace.com, you can get some more information, the details about registering, and whatnot, motels, hotels, and things like that. So you can check it out. So that's the Baja Bike Race, they call it. I've known it as the Tecate de Ensenada ride, and that was one of the very first rides I did when I was a youngster. So I was already hurting myself at a young age. Let's see what else is going on. That same weekend, just a couple miles from going across the border there, CycloVet's Spring Classic Criterium is taking place in San Diego County. I'll find out exactly right now where it's going to go down. Off of Miramar Road in Camino de Santa Fe. So it's in there. You can get info on that also at SoCal Cycling. .com, and I'm trying to find their site website. You can actually contact the race director if you have if you need more information. Bud Stratton, that name sounds familiar, it should. But it's budstratton@yahoo.com. So you can send him a message, get some info on that criterium as well. Let's see. And let's see, we got Rosanna Ranch Circuit Race was canceled on the 27th. So if you were planning to go there, canceled. Just make a note. The 24th through the 28th, Elite and Junior National Road Championships up in Lake Tahoe. Yeah, I think that might, just thinking out loud to myself, that might probably be a big race. I probably should mention that. Yeah, no, go to usacycling.org for more information on registering for that. And I think, if I remember correctly, registration might still be open. Go ahead and check on there to see. Yeah, I believe it's still open. I think you missed out on the early bird discount, but otherwise, it's open. And the end of the month, the 28th, got the Ontario Four Corner Criterium, of course, in Ontario. And you can find all this on SoCalCycling.com's upcoming events. Looking here at the flyer, you can register online at usacycling.org. So take care of all your registrations. You don't have to be sitting there doing it at the day of the race. Standing in a cold line with our luck, probably raining. But starts racing. See, registration starts at 6 a.m. and 1 hour before each race. Typical standard routine, 0.7 miles flat, four corners, good pavement. Hey, it's a criterium race, right? Let's see what else is going on with that. It is USAC and SCNCA. So just keep that in mind. I think most of these are, so... Everybody's pretty much got their license if they're doing this. In that Star Road world, in our mountain bike world, the season's pretty much coming to an end. We had Big Bear last week. We had the shootout May 30th and 31st. along with the endurance race. We had, cross country and endurance race. And we have the U.S. Cup Big Bear Shootout Series Final is scheduled for this weekend, the 13th and 14th, up in beautiful Big Bear Lake. All three events will be showing up. We're going to have the XC race, the Super D, and an endurance race. So if you're ready to go do some beautiful riding up in Big Bear, weather's nice right now. Chilly in the morning, though. Last race, everybody was saying it was really cold in the morning, but warmed up nicely, so just kind of prepare for it. And then the 27th of this month, we got the U.S. Cup in Colorado Springs. So that's also going to be an XC and endurance. And let's see, after that, it gets a little dry for the big events, but I know there's a lot of local events. Rim Nordic will have their series starting, I believe, the end of this month as well. And let me get in there and double check, because I remember getting that notice going, oh, it's coming, and I'm down. So looking excited. I love when they put on their events up there. It's just amazing people. And we got to do something about them straight pipes. I'm telling you, man. Maybe I should just shut the window, too. Nah, I wouldn't do that. Anyways, they're... darn it, I misplaced that schedule for Rim Nordic. I'll make it up to you, Bev. I will get Rim Nordic up here shortly. So, it's tough, man. It's tough. So anyways, still got some racing left to do. And before you know it, cross season will be here and we'll be all out playing in the mud. Everybody will start practicing how to run. Because we'll forget, because we've been spinning circles all summer long. And our legs will be like, what's this running thing? Anyways, see, I told you, Bev, I'd make it up to you. June 28th, July 12th, and August 16th will be the Rim Nordic Cross Country Series. But wait, there's more. They actually did hold a Super D up there a couple weeks ago, Enduro. Gotta get it right. They had an Enduro up there, and some of the feedback I got was that it was an Enduro. It was good. And that's the way Enduro should be. Enduros, you need to be able to pedal uphill as well as pedal downhill. If it's just downhill only, then hey, guess what? That's a downhill race. Anyways, so they're definitely doing Enduro up there now, and for some reason, I am not seeing their schedules for the Enduro. So, Bev, if you hear me, which I know you may be listening, may not, but I'll get the message. There we go. June 27th. My bad. You just got to read. School teachers, we don't read much. June 27th will be the next Enduro, number two. So it's the day before the cross-country openings. Oh, the openings up? Opens up. Anyways, we have a good time over here. So, all right, what else is coming up in the world of cycling? Cycling. Let's see. Don't know. Well, you know what? Sounds like it's a great time to talk about some sea otter. The otter. Yeah. I made the trek this year to Otter. And like I said, Monterey's beautiful up there. Love Monterey. I just, like everything else, though, they know when you're coming. And let me tell you, man, they get you. They get you on everything. But, it was an interesting thing. So, I already voiced my opinion about the course last show. And, I just really hope they get it together and, we have a better course for next year. We get some more drawback because A lot of people are saying, you know, some people are coming back and they're just like, well, that really wasn't worth my money. So, you know, what are you going to do? But, you know. Oh, I know what else I forgot to talk about. But I don't have the results yet, but I'll look for it. But, yeah, last weekend we had the 6 and 12 hour of Temecula. And, God, it was just perfect weather. You know, Jason Renoa ordered in that water drop and, you know, had the course in perfect condition for people. So, I mean, God, he's been getting lucky with some awesome courses this year. We won't talk about U.S. Cup 1 because that was just a mud bog, but, well, you know, whatever. It is what it is. Anyways, we're going to start off our Sea Otter segments with a really interesting fork company. And I'm just going to let the video or the... When I say video, I want to let the audio do the work because I had the heck of a time saying the fork's name and a heck of a time saying the guy I was talking to, his name. And I'm usually pretty good at getting some names down. I have slaughtered both of them so many times that I said, you know, you're going to do it. You'll hear me say that on the recording as well. So here we go. If all goes as planned here. It is the Loof Forks. And yeah, we've been seeing quite a bit of these popping out. So here we go.
All right, here I am at Sea Otter, and I found a really interesting fork that's out there, and it's called the Luef. And I know I just slaughtered it, but I'm going to have this guy, and I can't say his name either, but I'm going to have him talk about the fork. And first, he's going to tell me his name and the name of the fork.
All right, I'm Berkur from Lauf, that's the correct way to pronounce it. And we have this super light suspension fork. It's only 990 grams, and the retail price is also $990, so it's $1 a gram.
I like that.
It's zero maintenance, gives you 60 millimeters of travel, that's 2.35 inches. And it's designed for like cross-country and marathon racing.
Yeah, and I just actually rode the bike around, and it's a really awesome fork. I mean, weighs nothing, and it looks unusual. It looks like an old cantilever-type fork. It's kind of got the same principles. All carbon fiber, fiberglass for the suspension legs, and it looks like it would change your bike geometry, but it's actually dead on. It doesn't change anything. It actually makes it more agile. You can stand up on this thing, pound on the handlebars, and you don't get that bob you get from normal suspension forks. So, great product. Check it out online. Where can we find more information on this?
It's on lauforks.com.
That's L-A-U-F forks.com, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
All right, thank you, and thanks for letting me test ride that bike.
Yeah, do it. Enjoy it.
The Loof Forks. And, you know, Dave, since Sea Otter, they've really been making a big move. There's been a lot of people are getting them. A lot of people are using them. They've actually helping. They're promoting themselves down there with the 6 and 24 hour. And when I rode the bike around, it was on set up on a couple of their different bikes. And it was a very interesting feel. Now, maybe we are getting spoiled with all our technology and whatnot, but the fork was actually very precise. There was no slop, especially as our traditional 29er forks and just mountain bike forks in general, they start developing that side slop, that load, and that's because of the bushings and the telescoping tube. Now, this fork is designed on it's basically designed on cantilever. It's a typically old cantilever multi-link fork. You see them back in the days on the motorcycles. And they taken that design, refined it, and then eliminated a lot of things. Eliminated a lot of pivots and things that can wear and you know, like you said, it's a zero maintenance fork. And the reality is it's a complete zero maintenance fork because there's really nothing that can necessarily wear out and create slop. So Now everyone's like, well, okay, how does it dampen and how does it this and how does it that? Well, I think you have to look at the purpose of this fork, and you said it in the recording. It is designed as a lightweight cross-country race fork. Now, they target it more towards the endurance guys who want that lightweight fork and that consistent movement and that consistent dampening rate. Now, it uses, like I said, it's a full carbon fiber fork except for the suspension leaves, which are fiberglass. Now, those fiberglass leaves have a certain amount of dampening characteristics in them. At the same time, they also have a certain amount of rebound in them. So you're going to have to figure out if this is really your fork. Now, if you're a weight weenie running a single speed bike where you were probably going to run a rigid fork anyway to save on the weight, this is something that you might want to definitely look at because it is a minimalist fork. It's got just enough suspension movement to take the bite off the terrain. It's going to give you your precise steering. It's going to give you some comfort. It's going to give you zero maintenance, nothing to worry about during your rides and races and whatnot. It's going to lighten up your bike tremendously. It's going to give it a really cool look, okay? And it's got its market. I mean, I would definitely run that fork. But one thing you're going to need to do is get used to its reaction, its properties. It reacts in a certain manner. So you have to understand that when you're going to go and you're going to slam through a bump, you may not want to necessarily do that because you're going to have this rebound effect as well. Now, even though it's tuned into it, it's still going to have more rebound than probably a traditional fork. Okay, now, I'll be honest, I haven't really had a lot of time to ride it. I do know people who have it, and kind of all say the same thing. They've put a lot of miles and hard miles on it. So it's one of those things. Like I said, riding it around, I could feel small bump compliance was really nice. And you know, that's the thing. Sometimes it's those small bumps over, you know, 6 or 12 hour period of time. Those little small bumps hurt. And if it was a full rigid, I mean, it would really start wearing on you. And not to mention that, you know, and like I said, any time you hit something with a full rigid bike, it's actually stopping you. That's why, you know, most full rigids will run bigger tires with lower air pressure so that they roll over those smaller bumps. But when you eventually hit those larger bumps, it does tend to stop your forward momentum. So, like I said, look at this fork. It is lightweight. It's comparable to everything else. And when you talk about price, I mean, when you're looking at forks nowadays, I mean, you're looking at $1,000 for a good competitive fork. But if you're mostly a cross country fire road gravel grinder type of person, you're looking for this fork to just take the bite off. This is one thing I could see this fork doing well at is probably in the gravel grinder and the cyclocross market. We spoke there, me being a mechanical motorhead that I am and the suspension guy that I like to play. We talked about adding a dampener that would be minimal service type dampener, very easy to work because being that this doesn't have to support anything, you can put a very simple damper on it. And they actually kind of peeked at that. So the future of this fork, it's still, you know, growing. And who knows, we may end up with a dampener. I think once a dampener is added to this fork, I think then you've got the golden ticket there. So that was the Luf Forks. Definitely go take a look at them. And that's Luf Forks. You can just Google that and it'll pop up right away. Now, while I was there at the Luf Forks, however, this was funny. Remember I told you Sea Otter is the poor man's inner bike? It's for those, you know, people bring things out and they show it and they want people to see it. Well, the next thing, while I was there at Luf Forks, I ran into this guy and he had this really, at first I looked at it and I thought, oh, that's a Thud Buster. It's just a suspension seat post. And the first thing he says is, No, it's not. And I go, what? And so we started talking about it. And this is called the body float. And we will take a listen to this, because this is a very interesting thing he's created. So let's see if I can get this thing right again.
Okay, I stumbled upon a really, I think, life and ride altering product here. It's called the body float. And I'm talking to Charlie. You're the creator of this?
I'm one of the founders of the company, yes.
Okay, yeah, it's called Body Float. It's a really unique aspect on the seat post. I'll let Charlie fill you in on it exactly, because he was doing some science techno jargon that blew my mind. So let's keep it simple for the bike racer.
For that lovely bike racer, what we've got, the Body Float, is in all essence a motor mount. It attaches a variable output motor to a variable chassis. Once you make that connection point, you're allowed and can create any type of performance or comfort metric that you want to have. Lots of travel, super cush like a Cadillac, or tightened up super tight like a Ferrari.
And what he means by motors, we're not talking an e-motor here. We're talking your bio motor, you yourself to your machine, your bike. So now I know there's a big talk about e-bikes all over this place this weekend, but this is something really cool. Definitely going to help with bike fitting, help with ride, being more efficient on the bike. And we were just talking about it. You know, sometimes you get those little pressure points and you can actually dial all that stuff out.
Everything's customizable. I set a guy up this morning, old school NorCal slider. He just has this BMX type slider bike. Just went out and built it. He put this on there and he was absolutely blown away. 6 years old, and his grin on his face was massive. He's like, okay, this just bought me 20 more years of being able to ride my bike. And that was pretty cool.
That's awesome. So I know you were telling me your website's not fully up yet, but if we want to find more information on the web about this, where can we go?
So our website, our current site is up, and it's cirruscycles.com, and that's cirruscycles.com. And you get some general information. We do have a new site that we're building up right now that's got a lot of video content, how to, all the different segmentation and mechanical sides and all the things you can do with this product. So check that out and give us a call if you got any questions.
All right, Charlie, thanks for that. That's a really amazing thing. And check the Facebook page for Bike Sport Radio. I have a picture that I'll be putting up on there so you can check it out. And then go on to the website and take a look at it. I'm out.
All right, so that was the body float. And yeah, it wasn't a suspension seat post. It basically was an isolator. So what it does is, as you sit on the bike and ride, it kind of like adjusts your position, but it dampens you from a lot of the movement in the bike. So it doesn't completely eliminate, you know, bumps. It just kind of keeps you in this state of flotation where you are isolated, but yet you're attached. So now think about a car motor mount, okay? You know when your motor mount's bad, because what do you feel? Every single bit of vibration in the road. Now, a suspension seat post moves to try to give you this sensation of isolation, but you're really not getting that it's not really doing that. You're just movement. Now, when a suspension seat post, what else happens? Depending on the type you have, your body position changes on the bike. You're either going to drop lower and or come back up. You're going straight up and down, you know, according to your seat angle, or you're moving back and forth if you're on a parallelogram type. Well, this guy here is not really designed to move so much as it is to isolate you. It uses dampeners, typical elastomer dampeners in there with a parallelogram type design that just kind of keeps you moving a little bit. But like I said, when you ride it, it's completely tunable. You can place a dampeners in here and there, and adjust here, turn here, tweak here, preload this, slide this back, change this angle. There's a lot of different things you can do. Now, where is this going to be really strong? Well, this crosses over. It's not only a dirt item, but this is something you can do, once again, cyclocross probably not so much, since the events are so short and everything is just on and off, on and off, on and off. But now, here's the thing. Think about this. In a choppy, choppy grass, kind of high-frequency type situation, What's the one thing you get the most in cross, especially in grass, is you get this high frequency vibration and it goes through your whole body, so you feel it. Same thing with a gravel grinder, a gravel ride. You know, you're on these roads where you're just feeling this vibration, and that's why, you know, everybody's all like, oh, well, this have the bike dampen it, and they're putting in all these carbon fiber characteristics and elastomer systems and things like that to try to dampen that vibration. Well, the body float does that for you. It dampens you. It keeps you in this position of just like float, and that's where the name comes from. So like a motor mount in a car, it isolates the vibrations of the motor from the rest of the chassis so that you're not feeling all of that. Now, yeah, it's not going to eliminate a 100%, but it definitely helps. And it's definitely going to create to fresher riders. It's going to create to just a much more enjoyable cycling experience. And, you know, the one thing that we mentioned was that, you know, you're going to have, if you have issues with, you know, getting a hot spot on the seat, or you've got all that, you can fine tune the angles much better than you can with a standard seat post. Many seat posts are limited by, you know, their construction of how, what angle you can get and whatnot, and certain seat combinations don't match, and you can just go on and on and on and on, and it makes the bike fitting process that much more complicated, that much more time consuming. So take a look at that body float post, and their website was up. I just got an email from them not too long ago, and you know, we should see more and more of this product. Now, they are, you know, they're definitely, like I said, it's quality on the product looked good. The one I was riding around functioned like it was supposed to do. And where I rode it was on a bike with a loof front fork as well. So I got to kind of feel the whole sensation of what that combination would be. So the next guy we're going to talk to at Sea Otter was, how about a dropper post? But a dropper post for the XC rider. Not the free rider, but the XC rider. I learned something with this, and it was at the 9.8 dropper booth. And they have a post that's XC rider friendly. Weights are comparable, fairly lightweight, but he told me some really interesting things about the dropper and the cross-country endurance racer. You're going to start seeing them more and more. I don't even want to share the secret because that's going to be my advantage when I get back on the bike, but I don't know. Let me think about it as I'm listening to it. Hopefully it didn't slip while I was interviewing them over at 9.8 Dropper.
Okay, now I have found trail riders, downhillers use these droppers a lot. I found some really nice dropper posts here. 9.8 is the company name, and I'm sitting here with Stephen Park. He is the chief, I guess, engineer, founder, everything.
Yeah, that's right.
The brains behind this. But I found a really cool post for the XC racer that he gave me some of the secrets. I'm not going to share with you guys because I'm going to use them for myself when I get one of these. So nobody's going to beat me on these tails and downhills. But he's got some really great products here, and I'll give him a couple words, but tell me about him.
So you're talking about our 9.8 Pulse seat post, which has got some fantastic features for cross-country racing and still really good for trail riding as well. It's available in 100 millimeters and 125 millimeters of travel, and has our patented stepping technology that lets you drop the post in repeatable, accurate 10-millimeter increments at any time. We're also showing here at Sea Otter for the first time our new Fallline seat post, which is a lighter mechanical post, infinitely positionable, and has a number of patented technologies in it as well.
Now, I took a look at these, and they really thought about them out, especially when it comes to the head, the clamping design. You can have an offset, you can have a zero, all on the same post by just changing the head. So that's really thinking ahead of the time, keeping costs down. And real stout looking products. I just test rode it. I've actually ridden a few droppers in my life, never been a fan of them, I've actually, you can ask Steven, I came back with a smile on my face going, oh, I could really use that one. So I'm really liking where this technology is going. So we want to get more info on these posts and whatnot. Oh, I got to admit, each post comes with a special little tool that you guys are going to love. You got, but I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to do your research, find it online so you can see. That's a really cool tool. But where can I find more info, Steven?
We're at 9point8.ca, so that's the number 9, P-O-I-N-T, the number 8.ca. We're a Canadian manufacturer, and we sell all over the world.
Awesome. Well, thanks for the time, Steven. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Now, I wasn't kidding when I said, you know, everyone's like, oh, I got to drop her because I'm going to be dropping down this hill and I'm going to drop my seat and da 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 da. And I was, you know, I'm an XC guy, so I just rode it with my seat up. I didn't care. I was old school, you know, just get behind the seat and put your butt on the wheel. But, oh my God, I rode this bike and I was clicking that dropper post around and just going, wow, that was the coolest thing. And we started talking more about the whole concept, and he told me to try a couple things on that bike and, you know, see how it felt. And then he gave me some idea. He told me, he says, you know, so he gave me some of the secrets of some of the best endurance riders ever out there who are running the Pulse or Stepper C-Post. Now, what he didn't describe in the interview, and we just talked a little bit about it, it's called the Stepper for a reason. With most posts, it's, you know, boom, boom, you know, three spots to drop. This has got multiple levels that you can click it down so you can infinitely fine-tune your post. Now, that has a lot to do with the secret he told me. Now, I don't know if I'm going to divulge the secret, to be honest with you, because after we talked about it, he said this is what many of the best endurance guys are doing with this Pulse. With the C-Post that they make. And he said, go try it. So I took the bike back out and tried that. And that's when I came back with a smile on my face going, oh, I got to have my hands on one of these things. They are amazing. Amazing. And I can definitely see now why those guys are doing what they're doing. I definitely can see it. And I don't know, maybe one day I'll let the secret slip. But I'll tell you, it's gonna definitely do some changes. But really good construction. I do like the fact that, you know, you can take this post with you to other bikes. You know how usually you have to buy it. You have to buy a post, and it's either offset or it's zero. You know, it's no offset or offset. And you really can't just change a part. You end up having to change the whole post. Well, the nice thing is they design their posts where the heads are removable. You can actually put the offset on there and, you know, use the same post for several bikes with just a different offset, different size frames or whatnot. The nice CNC, everything's, you know, really nicely done. Easy to work on, easy to get things done with it. So take a look at it. You know, pricey though, which all droppers are, but it's retails for about $500. And basically, you know, it has 10 millimeter step increments all the way down, titanium fasteners. It's got a lighter trigger, you know, the remote switch is such a cool little thing. And I will tell you this though, the coolest thing that comes with this C-Post, and it might be worth a $500, but no, it's a really neat little torque wrench that they supply with you to basically protect your investment. But it's such a universal torque wrench. It's not a standard like a torque key or any of those. It's an actual old school mechanical micro torque wrench, 4mm micro torque wrench, torque key is what we're going to call it. And he said, you know, because a lot of people look at those things and go, that ain't accurate. He says, they tested it. And he said, this thing is dead on accurate. So considering it's for free, it comes with your post. And I was actually hoping they would actually sell it. I managed to grab my hands on one and use it. And I mean, that thing's a nice handy little tool to throw in my tool bag when I'm out on the road and need to adjust the saddle or whatever, adjust anything with a 4mm head. It's a great little tool. So take a look. It's 9.8, and you spell out the word point, .ca. They've got a great website. Shows their two products. They have various products. Oh, and the wrench is there. It's in the tool area, so you can take a look at it there. It also shows the different remotes they have. It shows your C-post. They also manufacture C-clamps and other little small parts for, you know, rebuilds and whatnot on these items. They've also got some videos, documentation, and so far I have not seen the little secret they told me. But then again, even if I did see it on here, I'm going to let you hunt for it. So you can feel free to yell at me or whatever and say, you're not helping the bike racer by not giving away the secret. Because I'm going to say, yeah, it's my secret. Anyways, so take a look at them. Awesome droppers. That was the Pulse, was $500 retail. The mechanical one, the Fall Line dropper, which was new. That one is $379, more mechanical base. Now, the difference between these two, though, and you know, this is what will be the limiting factor for the Fall Line post, is that it's still got the same infinite adjustability, but it's a traditional dropper where it's going to have the line coming out the bottom of the post, so you're going to have a frame that will accept this. So that's one difference. Whereas the Pulse has the cable coming out of the head, so that's going to fit more bikes. You know, universally, it's going to end up being on more bikes. Okay, so definitely take a look at that. There was a nice product. Not made in Taiwan, not made in China. You know, it's our neighbors to the north here in Canada, so we got to support the North American manufacturing as much as we can. And in case you're looking for that torque key, it's $899 on their website. So, alrighty, so take a look at that. One of the big, very popular things going on in the MTB world, and this maybe MTB and actually even some of the trekkers and some gravel grinders where the courses are really rough, gearing. Everybody wants the low gearing, you know, but we don't want to go and drop a few thousand dollars on a XX1. Even the X1, it's still, you know, $600-$800 for that drivetrain. But we want that mega range gearing, you know. I don't really need 11 speeds. 10 works for me. But the ratios have always been off. Now, I love the Wolf Tooth items. I love the way their stuff works. It add on, but it's still an add on. And sometimes you just can't find that happy gearing space. Now, well, there's been a lot of push in the market about this mega range gearing and that 40 and 42 and which one's better and what's going to work better with what derailleur and, oh, now you got to run this link if you want to do this and do that and da-da-da-da. It's definitely making it better. It's getting simpler. But why not just make a standalone item that's going to do this? Well, guess who came to the call and did this? Praxis. And go ahead and we'll talk to them at Sea Otter right now.
Okay, I'm here with Adam from Praxis Works, the hottest topic on the internet right now and the hottest topic amongst anybody who rides a mountain bike. You can hear it in the background. It is a new... What's the official name for this wide-range cassette? It's 10-speed, not 11. Tell me more, Adam.
So this is our new 10-speed wide range cassette, and it is exactly that 10 speed. And we've been getting bombarded with questions and emails and all sorts of people coming out saying, why didn't we do 11? Why didn't we do this and that? And I want to air it out so everyone understands why we did a 10 speed wide range. As we sat back over the last year, and a lot of people have seen 11 speed come out more from all the other big companies, there has been a pricing challenge to go to 11 speed. But also, there's a lot of people that invested in the last year or two, and sometimes 3 years, in a brand new 10 speed bike, whether it be XT, XTR, but that level of bike. And those bikes are fantastic, and the drivetrains are great, and there was really no reason to jump to 11 if you didn't want to spend the money or didn't have the money. So what we decided to do is we set basically some design parameters on a new cassette that if we were going to bring this out, we didn't want to be an adapter. We didn't want to be a modification setup like what we've seen. And right now, without naming names, there's a bunch of companies that came out with those adapters. That were, there's the Pi Plate add-on 40 or 42, and then there was a... And then it kind of dominoed into you needed to add this sort of link and that sort of link, and then you had to do an extra modification of the cage to make it work. And what happened is we noticed all these customers that were basically doing everything they could to make their bike just have a little bit deeper gear. They were Frankensteining the rear end, and the consensus of what we spoke to and looked at all the shops and talked to all the people out there was that, yeah, it worked. But it wasn't that great, and they weren't thrilled, but they got the 40 or they got the 42, you know, to get up the climb. So the way we came at this is the design parameters were this. We wanted people to be able to use existing 10-speed free hub body wheels. Okay, and we wanted people to be able to use, without modification, existing 10-speed mid-cage or long-cage derailleurs. Now, using those two major parameters, well, what does that make us? Well, let's talk about the taller side of it, down at the 10 and 11 tooth area, where everyone's asking, why didn't we do 10 cog? The reason we didn't is because in order to make a 10 cog work is you had to do what's called an XD driver. And in the aftermarket, that's $40 to $50 to your customer, and an additional cost and modification to your rear wheel. So we're done with that. Plus, Shimano derailleurs want to work on 11. They don't want to work on 10. So we didn't want to say, sorry, Shimano customers, you're out. This is only for SRAM customers. So that's why we started at 11s, because it gets on existing free hub bodies that are in the market for 10-speed bikes. Now, as we climb up the cassette, we also didn't want to have to create a hiccup in the middle of the cog, which is where that infamous, let's pull out the 17 and swap it for the 16 issue is. And that's to get the other end of the spectrum, is you create a hiccup in the middle of the cog, and we don't like that as riders. That's right in the power band of where you're shifting. You want the nice, smooth steps.
Exactly.
So we have a nice, clean step from 11 all the way to 28, and through that part of the cassette is all stamped steel. Okay. So we're keeping with the durability of the steel story right there. Once you get up to the 28, though, we do leave a steel production, and we go into a 7075 T6 aluminum on the 34 and the 40.
Okay.
Now, we stop at 40, and here's why. Like the other end of the spectrum, there are reasons that we stopped at 40, and the main reason is this. Once you go past 40, all bets are off on your existing 10-speed derailleur staying normal. That is when someone is then dealing with, I have to go buy a $20 specific little updated link to kind of put my derailleur in a certain area.
Right.
Then you potentially have to buy an aftermarket custom hopped up extender cage, and that's another $40-$50. So you already are taking your derailleur off, and you're basically taking your whole derailleur and completely rebuilding it just to get a 42.
Right.
Now, we admit some people want 42. We're just not going there at this time. So for 90% of the riders out there, we feel an 1140 is going to get them exactly what they want, which is that little bit more of extra range to feel comfortable in that steeper section of the climb.
Right.
You don't have to do anything to your rear derailleur. You don't have to do anything to your free hub body. You simply pull off your old 1136, put on your 1140, adjust your highs and lows accordingly, and you do screw down your B-spring a little bit. You can get your clearance of your upper pulley to the 40 tooth, no problem with the natural clearance of 2 to 3 millimeters, and the derailleurs shift fantastic. Okay, so that is why we went with 1140. That was the basic, you know, whole scoop of the design parameters of our first cassette. Now, the other thing that we also want to talk about is we noticed on those add-on adapter plates is that they're just a single plate of aluminum.
Right.
And they're thin and they're not really reinforced, and it's kind of I don't want to, it's a little flimsy, and we've seen a lot of them actually fail on rides with our friends out there.
Right.
So the way we actually design the our actual 3440 section is it's a full carrier. You can see here, I know we're on the radio, but the 34 is actually the actual, it's the carrier.
It's carrier,
And then we cantilever and pin off, we rivet off the 40. So not only do we make it super stout at the 3440, but we saved weight. This whole cassette is only 322 grams. Wow. So we're approximately 10 grams lighter than the current production 1136 XT.
Right.
So we're not heavy, we're not super light, but we're right in the conversation. And it's going to retail to the consumer at $130.
And that's, I'm going to tell you, I've used the adapters. I was good on them. I'm mechanical, I'm technical, they work. But I always just found that little hiccup. I mean, even with the 16, I still found there wasn't a smooth transition. And I'm looking at this unit here. It's definitely built to look light, look strong, and I don't see the gaps. Usually with the add-ons, you can see the gaps. You can see there's always that little... They work okay, but like you said, something that's more solid, one piece, no weight penalty, and works with what I've got. It's genius, and I definitely see a lot of people crawling and running and stampeding stores to order.
Yeah,
so.
we're almost there. And what you just said was actually one of the things that was another part of the design. The design goal is we wanted to keep the integrity of the shift as clean and smooth as possible. And we know there's a lot of people chattering, why didn't you do this, or why does it go 28, 34, 40? And it all comes down to this. We cared about the consumer. We cared about the feeling of the shift and how good it felt. Could we have gone 28, 35, or 28, 36, and then 40? Yes, but then you do exactly what you said. You create this weird gap in an area of the cassette that you don't want. So the reason for a lot of this was integrity of the shift, smoothness between each of the steps, and that everything felt smooth and everything worked beautifully.
Yeah. So this is just an amazing piece of art. It's clean. It's easy to go. And all their products, I was just browsing through the table here, the press fit bottom bracket. I mean, just every product here has got thought behind it. Company, I just listening to him talk. He's a local guy. I mean, he's just like you and I. He's a writer. He knows what we're all about. Take a look at the stuff online. We find all the information we're at.
www.praxis-works.com. We're Santa Cruz locals, and we're just like everyone else. We just like riding stuff that works. We like an honest price point. We like an honest product. And give us a shout. We think you'll be impressed.
All right, so take a look at it online. You can see all the details. I'll have a couple pictures up as well on our Facebook page. You can take a look at the cassette, and can't wait to get my hands on one. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
Alrighty, that was Praxis. By far, just one of the biggest topics out there. They just went; they're actually available now, and they were really thought out well. I like the guys there; they were just really cool. Everybody's laid back. Made here, you know, that's one of the things. They have really strict quality control, and I mean, just going through all, like I said, looking at their product there at the show. It was just, I mean, they really thought it out. They had everything, you know, they weren't compromising in places that, you know, others might have. I mean, their bottom bracket's just amazing pieces of art. And I mean, it looks good. And they're local guys. And it's always good to support our local fabricators and builders and designers. You know, we always, that's one thing we like to do, is bring the little guy up. Now Praxis ain't so little anymore, and now that they've gone wide world with this thing, but you know, waiting to get my hands on one of those. I'll have my hands on it soon, I hope, and be able to give you some more solid feedback. But from the people I know who have one, they so far are raving about the crisp shifts, very little weight penalty, and the fact, you know, that it's serving the needs, and definitely, like I said, well thought out. You know, that idea of that 42 or a 41, I think is still lingering in that background, but having ridden a bike with a 42, I think the only time you're really going to need that 42 is if you're really running a single ring only. The nice thing about this 10 is you can run two rings. So if you're really going to need that kind of super low gearing on a 42, then just run a double crank, you know. Most people are running these big rings so they can, you know, these big cassettes so you can run a single front chain ring. You know, it's kind of what Shimano did too with their XT11 speed. You know, now you can run single, double, and triple. And we'll talk more about Shimano in the future here once release date gets closer. But for now, you don't want to go drop all the coin on a new kit, on a whole new drivetrain, a whole new group of parts. Take a look at the Praxis. I mean, it's definitely the solution to the problem. And the cost, I mean, $130 for a cassette? Come on. I mean, can't go wrong with that. And we all know everybody gets a good guy prices at the shop, so you're going to pay a little less probably. But take a look at it. Support our local riders. So, oh my gosh, where has the time flown by? I don't know. It just seems to just go when you're sitting in this place. No idea. Well, I think it's that time of the day. Who knows if this is going to work now. I'm setting it all up. There it is. This is Robert from Bike Sport Radio. You all have a great week. We'll see you on the road. Ride safe.